You know, Mark Uhl has been with us throughout this pandemic, navigating high school sports in the state of Michigan, tried to keep them alive in the spring, and the pandemic just couldn't allow that to happen. So here they are now trying to plan for fall sports 2020, and they're still in that wait and see until August 20th when it comes for the high-risk contact sports. As Mark talked about a week ago, he's back on the Huge Show across Michigan. So, Mark, with the news today from the Big Ten, the NCAA Board of Governors, what you're seeing from neighboring states when it comes to their back to high school sports plans, do you have hope we're going to see a season this fall? Limited sports, where are you at right now?
So our current plan is, you know, we're going to start practice as we had scheduled. So we've got football practice or acclimatization week starting next week, Monday, and then with our other sports beginning on Wednesday. Do know that, you know, with our various teams getting together, many of those early season practices, it's an awful lot of conditioning and physical training, which, to be honest, Bill, we've been doing in a very large share all the way going back since June. So, you know, by football on Monday, having kids come in with only helmets, there obviously is no contact. It's really a focus on conditioning, training, and skills. What you'll see at a lot of places come Monday isn't much different than what's been going on all summer. I think the same thing for some of our other sports that begin on Wednesday. Certainly the you know, things that, and of course, you know, we've talked many times on air, Bill, about everything continuing to be fluid and evolving, and certainly, you know, we're waiting some answers to questions as it relates to indoor facilities. You know, in six of our eight regions of our state, those gyms, those weight rooms, those indoor pools remain closed, and so now what you're having is a little bit of if conflict is the right word. You've now even got some cases to where just some of the executive orders, because right now Governor Whitmer has issued, just north of 160 executive orders in this calendar year, with most of those being COVID-related. I don't care what you're doing. If you're going to put out, you know, 160 different items that all were done to solve certain problems and situations, over that many of those, you're just naturally going to have conflicts to where the guidance and direction in one order is going to conflict with guidance and direction in another order, because you're dealing with, you know, similar things at different times. And so, you know, the governor's office is aware that we do need some clarification, you know, just as soon as possible, because our schools, you know, starting practice activities next week, especially volleyball and swimming, we're going to need some more guidance and just getting some of those conflicts in some of those executive orders straightened out, so that when we are able to start, we're doing as safely as possible. We're complying with everything that the governor and our state government and health department officials have prescribed, and we're also following the return to school roadmap. So those are the things that, Bill, literally on a daily, if not hourly basis, there are conversations that are going, and we're going to get activity started next week. What you've already got is, you know, at our level, we're not, you know, like the colleges are, of having to figure out how to bring kids back to campus and in the dorm and in the cafeteria three times a day, and, you know, with kids being around each other for prolonged a period of time at, we'll just call them social gatherings at the college level for now. You know, at the high school level, really for those first 2 weeks before schools even start, you're able to bring kids back onto campus in small defined groups based on their athletic team. The, you know, the JV soccer player doesn't have any interaction with the cross country runner or with the freshman football player or with that varsity volleyball player, that you've already got kids kind of in those small groups or that pod concept, which we've been using all summer with our workouts, and we'll get started next week, and I'm sure after each day we'll kind of take stock at where we're at. As you mentioned in kind of the lead up to this, we're continuing to talk to our surrounding state associations. Both Ohio and Indiana are ahead of us. Ohio started last Saturday. Indiana started this previous Monday. So I've got a call with those directors here, in the next 24 hours to where get to learn a little bit about how their first week of practice has gone so far. And, you just have to continue to take information in, continue to be as transparent and as open with people as you can, and just know that we're going to have to be flexible, that, we'd love to be able to get started, and if at some point we need to stop or pause or delay or suspend or move, that all those things could be on the table. But our plan for next week is to get those first day of practice sessions going, to get our kids continuing to be around our coaches, which have gone on the last 2 months, and then we'll just see where things go there, taking them again on a day-by-day basis.
Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us on the Huge Show across Michigan. So the neighboring states that you've mentioned throughout this process on what they're doing, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and I guess Wisconsin neighboring to the UP area. What have you seen on their return to play? What's similar to your plan, or maybe some things that you would like to implement here in Michigan?
So I'll include one more state in that. They're not a bordering state, but of course in Iowa, that's the one state in the U.S. they actually play their high school baseball and softball season in the summer. Go figure, the best weather of the year, baseball, softball. Iowa's done that forever. And so one kind of important metric was my counterpart in Iowa reported a very successful summer season. Yep, they had some schools that had to pause during the season with some positive cases, but they were able to culminate their summer with a state championship series, which certainly I think presents some optimism to all of us. Now, certainly baseball, softball isn't a contact high-risk sport like what football is, but there's certainly some lessons from this summer in Iowa. The other thing, Bill, that we've talked about before is, I get in my car on the weekend, and you can't drive too far without seeing some sort of summer travel, fill-in-the-blank, competition from going, whether it's soccer or baseball or softball. And I know that there's been basketball activity, whether within the government orders or not, those have all been ongoing all summer. I mean, that's involved thousands of kids, and certainly if we decide to delay or to pause or to move things, the non-school world, certainly they're going to offer opportunities. Our two southern neighbors are both, like I said, they've started on time this week with all of their fall practices. Illinois last week, their governor stepped in, and their governor essentially mandated that they move their three-team sports, football, volleyball, and soccer, to next March, April, and May. Illinois, a little bit better climate, so they could get started earlier than a state like we could. What's interesting about that, Bill, is my colleagues in the surrounding states of Illinois said that the morning after that announcement, they could not handle the phone traffic from calls from Illinois families wondering what the transfer rules are for families out of Illinois coming across the border to move into either Indiana or Iowa. So these states that are making decisions not to play or to cancel or to suspend or to move it later in the year, right, wrong, or indifferent, families are making decisions based on that right now, which is why, our approach, Bill, since day one, is we are going to do everything possible to play and to play safely, and that's why, again, we're just going to take things in small increments of time, giving ourselves flexibility to change on the move if needed. And then the last bordering state, Wisconsin, they're going to start with their low-risk sports on time, tennis, golf, cross-country, and then what they're doing is they have delayed the start of their team sports stuff, which would be football, volleyball, and soccer, and those practices won't begin until right around when schools begin around Labor Day. So a little bit of a different flavor in those four surrounding states. Ohio, Indiana have already started. Illinois is going to go forward with low risk. They've moved things already to next spring, and they were already losing students and families because of that early decision. And then Wisconsin is getting some sports started, and they're taking a wait-and-see approach with others. So we take that kind of data, everything that we get from our Department of Health and Human Services, from percentage of positive tests each day to cases to hospitals, all of those metrics that we've talked about for months, those are things that we keep looking at literally on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, God bless any high school or state high school association trying to get parents on the same page. That may be one of the most impossible adventures in life, but everybody has a right to their opinion, and also everybody's looking out for their kid. And Mark, I think what's tough here with so much out there in the media, on the social networks, radio talk shows, that they hear today that UConn, a D1 football team, has canceled their season, or D2 fall championships are all canceled, that D3 championships are all canceled. How do you balance when you're talking with your team there in Lansing at the Michigan High School Athletic Association, when you're talking with superintendents and coaches and ADs across the state? How do you separate what's happening in the NFL and college sports when it comes to high school sports in Michigan in terms of what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how you have to do it differently?
So it's tough because, you know, obviously the money and the protocols and the procedures that they're using at the pro level, whether that be with Major League Baseball or the bubble concepts right now in the NBA and the NHL. And, you know, what I found interesting is, of course, the NFL. We saw headlines of Matt Stafford test positive, and he's on the COVID list. And then, what was it, 48 hours later, it was a false positive, never mind. So even with all of the money and resources and testing that they have, I mean, here with our home state quarterback, they didn't get that one right. So you almost have to kind of take the pro level, and that's really its own deal. Really look more closely at the college level. Certainly the college is making some of those moves that they have. They need to do that farther in advance than what even we do at the high school level, because in many of those cases you've got, you know, families, and by the way, every college athlete isn't a full scholarship kid, to where, you know, families got to now make financial decisions, to where if you're going to make decisions at the Division II where they can give some athletic aid, and at the Division III level where nobody's getting athletic scholarship aid, is you've got to make decisions about seasons and postseasons and everything that comes with it, because you've got tuition-paying families that got to make some decisions in July and early August about what their fall may look like. You know, the MIAA, our Division III league here, that's mostly in the state of Michigan, you know, they announced that as a league, they're not having competition in their fall sports, but yet two or three individual schools are going to move forward and going to play some fall sports just because their universities are planning to have kids back and trying to figure out a way in those sports how they can offer that kind of opportunity. So I think there's some similarities at the college level, but again, it's different to where at the high school level, we're not having to deal with dorms and cafeterias and so many of those common type facilities that they do at the high school level. Now, what I hear from superintendents is, you know, part of it is school districts have to have their return to school plan turned in by the 15th of this month. So by the middle of August is when their plans have to be ready to go and submitted through that process. I certainly know that we've had districts that have made the decision to move to all online education to at least start the year. What I've heard from some of those same superintendents is, yeah, we're going to start virtually to start the year, but Mark, we're still planning to have sports, because in some of those districts they believe that having school sports return where we're having predefined groups of kids by team, so again, you've got your small groups or pod concept, that we're now going to bring groups of students with the same adults onto campus to practice every day, to kind of get back into activity, those districts, what I'm hearing is that they're actually looking for that opportunity as a way to learn some lessons to where now when we can bring kids back on campus for in-person instruction, there may be some lessons that can be learned with sports starting first that they can use in the classroom. Maybe it's around October 1st when they're planning to bring kids back. You know, we've got parts of our state, Bill, that have not been impacted by this virus like other parts of the state have. And in those parts of the state, you've got superintendents and school districts who are planning to either return kids on campus or to give families the option of you're either all on campus in person or you're all online and virtual. And those that are here during the day, it's going to be full speed ahead. And, of course, you've got other pockets of our state where, you know, the virus has had a huge impact on their community and in their surrounding areas, and those districts are handling things differently. At the end of the day, our biggest challenge, of course, is we are an association of 748 member high schools, and to try and come up with one plan and solution that's going to work perfectly with all 748, it just isn't out there. At least it isn't out there right now, probably until we get a vaccine or until numbers drastically turn the other way. So what we continue to do is we listen to our schools, we listen to what our government leaders are telling us, we listen to what our state health department folks are doing, we look at what's going on around us, and we just try and put what we believe is the best plan forward for those schools that wish to participate in athletics this fall, how they can do that safely, and a way of really putting the best interest of especially kids and the adults that work with those kids being the most foremost thing that we're thinking of.
So you mentioned it's up to a school district. If a school begins their fall semester online, or they remain online the entire semester, and they're going to err on the side of caution, or that's what the parents or the school board or that superintendent, that they decide what to do, that school district then will be able to say whether or not athletes can play on high school teams. Is that correct?
Yep, it is correct. And, of course, Bill, we've had for a lot of years many of our school districts that have awarded kids credit that are being done online through their school. In some cases, a student would be taking kind of a split schedule, part of the day in the building, part of the day online. And in some cases, kids have completed all their credits online. So that isn't a new concept. It certainly could be much more widespread because of the pandemic than it ever has before. But no, that's a part of our eligibility rules. As long as the school is accepting that credit, whether it's done with a rear end in the seat in the school, whether that's being done at a local ISD skill center or trade center, or whether that's being done online or any combination of the three, all that does count toward athletic eligibility. And in our districts, that's another tool that they would have in their toolbox.
And that would be an individual district decision if that district starts online. Because, Mark, and I've gone back and forth with some people privately, personally, that I know. They're like, well, if a school's not going to allow the kids into the classroom, why would they allow them to play sports? How do you answer that?
That's a fair question, certainly, because, you know, everything that we do, it is certainly, it's student-athlete, and it's in that order specifically, and that is a very, very real question. I think what we're hearing over and over and over again is student health and safety, and certainly COVID concerns need to be part of that, but what I hear almost as equally and as aggressively is we also have the mental health status of our kids to think about as well, and what all of our teenage kids have been living with since you go back to last March. Yeah, I understand that, you know what, if a school district decides to start the year online and you have kids back on campus, does that now send the wrong message? And I think what you really need to do, and what, you know, I've got a little mantle here on my desk, and it says kids come first. And if you're really thinking about the needs of kids first, now when it comes to some of those mental health issues that many of our young people have been dealing with the last 4 years, you know what, Bill, giving them a safe avenue to connect with other students again, to connect with physical activity, to get them moving and to have something to look forward to that's positive right now, getting fall sports started. Because, of course, remember, fall sports for many of our schools has already started 2 and 3 weeks before any education started anyway. So this isn't a new concept to where we're bringing kids back to campus for sports before school. There just may be a case of this might be extended a little bit longer because of the pandemic has tipped all of our lives upside down. And as long as we can do it safely, we really think that school-based athletics, doing it the right way, the safe way, I think is going to really pay off for a lot of our kids from a mental and just overall health standpoint, while certainly being mindful of the challenges of COVID.
On that note, Mark, earlier today I shared a tweet about a recent study from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health that indicates, despite a surge in COVID cases, this return to normalcy for high school athletes might be just what the doctor ordered. As I read it, Dr. Tim McGuine and his colleagues surveyed 3,200 athletes in 71 of Wisconsin's 72 counties. They found the physical activity levels of the athletes had declined by 50% when the survey was taken in May. McGuine and other sports medicine experts presented the results of the survey of state athletes to the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association last week that suggests that 66,000 high school athletes are suffering mental health effects due to the COVID-19 pandemic closures. That equates to the spring shutdown of Wisconsin high school sports contributing to symptoms of depression and anxiety in 2/3 of high school athletes, according to this University of Wisconsin study. Dr. Claudia Reardon, an associate professor and consulting sports psychiatrist to Badger Athletics, said the results show the importance of physical activity to maintaining mental health. We know that exercise is a powerfully antidepressant and powerfully anti-anxiety, said Reardon, one of the study authors. Exercise has biological effects on our endorphins, which are our feel-good brain hormones. Beyond that, Reardon said that even the D1 athletes she counsels on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus are struggling with the loss of structure that came from the sudden shutdown of their sports. Wow.
And you talk about, Bill, all the different things you're balancing, all the different data, and, you know, some of your listeners, I'm sure, would say, well, you know, that Ewell guy, he's always talking about health and safety. Well, the health and safety of the athlete is the most important thing. Certainly know that COVID's part of that, but there are other health and safety factors that have to be part of this equation, too. And so when you're taking in all this information, certainly how do we stay as safe as we can in terms of COVID, but yet we've got to look at the other parts of kids' health and welfare, especially that mental health piece. And that, again, is why this is such a tough balance between, you know, the public health of COVID, but yet the longtime mental health of our kids, too.
And the lack of structure, if it's online, that would be over 9 months when you would get to January that kids had not been, not everywhere, but some kids had not had the structure of school and beyond maybe a club sport. And I'm talking kids who aren't in high school, and there's not a lot of middle school sports offered. It's a road and an area that a lot of people aren't looking hard enough at, and I applaud what they did over in Wisconsin with that study, and I think it's something that you and your team can also use in East Lansing at the Michigan High School Athletic Association offices. I know testing, Mark, you wish you could test athletes like the NFL and the NBA bubble and NHL and what they're doing, but financially, that's impossible at the high school level, isn't it?
It is, and it just not just the finances, but just from a practical standpoint. You know, we've got a test center not far from our office, and I'll run out at lunch to grab an iced tea and a sandwich, and build the line of cars. I mean, it wraps around the facility. I could see people there and in line for an hour or two, and so no, to say that you're going to test every person at a high school event, I just think that not just financially, but just practically right now where testing is at, that would be a lift that is far too heavy.
Mark Yule, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, MHSAA.com. Stay up to date on the latest when it comes to COVID-19 and the return to sports at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook. Mark, thanks for the update, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
All right, Mark Yule, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, giving us the latest from Lansing here on the Huge Radio Network.